His life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied? I'm beginning to see the light.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see somebody came back here today. Glad to see you after a couple of weeks of being away, and very thankful for each one of you. A number of you have visited in the last couple of weeks in my absence, and so it's good to see some new faces. If you're new here, we're glad that you're with us. A couple of things before we get started. We're going to have a little bit of a different kind of message today. I'm going to share about what God has done in my life, in one little segment of my life while I was away, and excited about sharing that. We do want to say on behalf of my wife Deb and I that we missed you while we were gone. Very thankful to be back. I went to a couple of different conferences, and then Deb and I spent a week in between them together, just kind of kicking back. And I visited two other churches over the last 3 or 4 weeks in my travels, and I was very encouraged about what God is doing in other parts of the land, and that's really exciting. But I also realize what a special place Lakeside is, and so Deb and I really do count this as home, and very thankful for coming back and being amongst friends. It is a special church for a number of reasons, but while I was away over the last 4 Sundays, just our own men spoke, Dave Kyle and Chris Silver and Adam Beecher and Ryan Helmkamp all preached in my absence. And I'd like to give them a hand if you'd join us for taking over. Deb and I listened to the messages while we were away, driving down the road some. I also want to thank the deacons and the elders. There's been a lot going on around here, and especially with the new building and everything, and so many details that they've just really picked up the slack so they took on what they were doing, plus some of the things I was doing, so just very thankful. And I want to especially thank Adam and Nathan, the two staff guys. They did a lot of stuff behind the scenes that many of you will never know, but God knows. And so I'm very, very thankful this morning for both Adam and Nathan and what they're doing. Now, God taught me a number of things about myself while I was away. Deb and I had some excellent time together. We had a lot of just great times of talking and leisure and those kind of things. One of the things that God taught me that I thought would be appropriate to share this morning is one of the things that he really laid on my heart and really challenged me with over the last 3 or 4 weeks is that my personal prayer life was really inadequately short. It wasn't that prayer was absent in my life. It certainly wasn't, but the personalness and the depth of the kind of prayer that God wants us when we go to Him to intercede on behalf of others and bring our prayer requests and tell them about what's going on in our life. And I had worked at reading through the Bible last year, and that's God talking to me. And so I really have a desire now to work on me talking to God in that depth. And God really taught me a couple of things in the last couple of weeks that I would like to share with you. I read a couple of books while I was away, and one of the books was on how to be a pastor or pastoral leadership. And there was a big section in that book on the prayer life of a pastor. And it challenged the reader of the book to meditate, to find and meditate all the prayers of Paul that are written in the New Testament. And then locate them and then jog them down somewhere, and then meditate on them, pray through them. Think about, what was Paul praying for? What kind of record did he lay down in the New Testament in his own personal prayer life? Now, I found 10 prayers, but there are probably more, because when you go to read Paul, he so lived and breathed Christ that it was hard to tell when he was having a conversation or when he was praying. It would be like he would go in and out at different times. And so I just listed 10. Now, if you would take your sheet that you have in your bulletin, I'm going to take the time this morning. Now, praise the Lord that his prayers aren't like some people's prayers. They're not very long prayers as you look. And so I've got the 10 recorded right here. And what I would like to do is read them slowly to you this morning. Now, the Apostle Paul was an outstanding leader to all the young believers and the young churches that he started. And so when he wrote his epistles, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians, all these, he was writing back to churches, and he was telling the believers how much he loved them, and he was trying to pour courage and strength and encourage them on. And so that's where his prayers are recorded, and fortunately for us, they are recorded in Scripture. So let's read slowly together. I'll read. You follow along on the sheet. They'll also be up here on the screen. If you have your Bible, I'll try to go slow enough. You can kind of flip. They kind of go in order here. They're rather brief. That's one thing that I noticed. They're rather brief when Paul prayed. He didn't take up pages and pages and pages, but they're beautiful prayers. And so much could be said about them, and I'll have this up on the screen in a little while, so you don't need to write it down right now. But I want you just to notice, at least God impressed upon me, 4 clear patterns in when Paul was praying that just come out of his prayers that I think can be a challenge to you as they have been to me. They can be an encouragement to you as they were to me. You could take this list. As a matter of fact, at the end of the service, I'm going to say, take this list home. Use this as you're praying for your children, as you're praying for your wife, as husband and wife are praying together, grandparents, as you're praying for your kids and your grandkids. And so I'm just going to verbally give you, and then when I get done reading these, we'll just look at these 4 things. But here's what I noticed. So just mentally take a note of these 4 things, and then as I read them, see if they aren't there. Well, one of the things you'll notice when Paul is praying is that on these 10 prayers that are recorded, he's always praying on behalf of somebody else. He's always interceding for another person. That really struck me. Number 2, he's constant in thankfulness. He's constantly thanking God for what he's doing in other believers' lives, even though his personal life was in turmoil. If you read the background of where he's writing in prison, and he's talking about his thankfulness for the faith of other believers. So constant in thankfulness. He was consumed when he prayed with the spiritual growth of other people. He was consumed. You won't find in these prayers a lot that has to do with more material possessions, help me get a better job, and these things. Not that Paul didn't pray for specific physical things in his life or material things like that. But these 10 prayers, really, you're going to have a hard time, the ones that God recorded in Scripture, finding the kind of things that I tend to pray for. And then the last thing I think you'll find that has really been the greatest encouragement to me is that when Paul prayed, he prayed and he was confident in God's power. And like I said, I'll list them on the screen in just a little bit. So let me just read through these 10 prayers. Let's take the time. I won't go long, I promise you, this morning. So praying like Paul. These are the 10 I recorded. You study for yourself. I'm sure you could find more. Romans 1, verses 8 through 10. Romans 1, So they'll be on the screen. I'll read them slow enough. You can use your own Bible if you want to do that as well. I have them written, so I'm just going to take them right from here. Romans 1, 8 through 10. Here's Paul praying. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. So that's the first recorded prayer of Paul. A little later in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 15, and I found a couple, verses 5 and 6, and then verse 13. Paul prayed, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Ephesians 1, verse 15 through 19. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and in your love toward all the saints. Saints are believers in the New Testament. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him. See what he's praying for here? Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might. Paul was just filled with God and his extravagant love. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, one of probably the greatest prayers in here. For this reason, Paul said, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all of the saints or believers what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work that's within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Philippians 1, 9 through 11, writing from jail, he says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless before the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Colossians 1. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. 1 Thessalonians 1. Paul says, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and your labor of love and your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Couple chapters later in 1 Thessalonians 3, he says, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. He wanted to meet them and see them. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. And then in chapter 4, he talks about the coming of the Lord Jesus. 2 Thessalonians, one book over, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of His calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by His power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the little one-chapter letter of Philemon, verses 4, 5, and 6. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints, believers. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. So when Paul prayed, as I meditated on those prayers over the last couple of weeks, and I thought about being away from the Lakeside family, Deb and I almost daily would go through this list and pray for the people of Lakeside and certain situations, and we would pray personally and individually and think about the situation the person was in. Sometimes the Lord woke us up in the middle of the night and it's like our hearts were stirred and so we would pray. And so I'm very, very thankful for my wife as we prayed through these prayers. Now, let me just shortly, and we won't spend a lot of time here, but I am trying to show you what God has been doing in my life. And I think if we take these prayers, and I challenge you to go home and use them as a platform for praying for your kids and husband and wife, it's been the greatest time for Deb and I just to take this list of prayers and just pray them and personalize them and put names to them and throw our kids in there and our grandkids in there. We prayed for one another. We prayed for you. Okay, I guess so. Four just kind of patterns. And if you study them, I encourage you, email me. There's so many other patterns that come out of Paul's praying. But let me just give you the four that I had kind of mentioned. The first thing that really struck me as I meditated on Paul's recorded prayers. Now, he prayed more than what was recorded, but God saw fit to not waste any words in the New Testament. The New Testament is not that long. And so these words are meant for us to think through and to meditate on. So the first thing that struck me as I meditated on these prayers, my wife and I, is that they were ceaseless in intercession. And I use the word ceaseless intentionally because he often says without ceasing. So ceaseless intercession is you're praying for somebody. You're kind of getting your mind off of your circumstance and you're praying for somebody. You're praying for loved ones, dear ones, ones you know, ones that are going through hardship, ones that are having great things happen in their life. So his prayers are ceaseless in intercession. They're ceaseless. Romans 1 and verse 9, that without ceasing I mention you always. Ephesians 1:16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, giving thanks to God always for you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. 2 Thessalonians 1, to this end, we always pray for you. So when you go through this list of 10 prayers, and maybe there's more out there, he's saying, I ceaselessly pray for you. I constantly pray for you. He uses always I pray for you. So he, remember, he's walking from city to city. He's getting beat. He's getting thrown in jail. And he's constantly praying for the person he loves. He's ceaseless in it. You get the idea? He never missed a day or an opportunity to pray for those he loved. Now, you may not be able to teach in front of a big group, preach in front of a big group, come over here like Ken and Marcia and sing in front of a big group. You may not be able to do that, but every one of you can pray. Amen? Every one of you. Adrian Rogers said that the greatest problem we face is not unanswered prayer. Let me start again so you get it. The greatest problem we face is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. I think that was true in my own life, and God showed me that. So ceaseless in intercession. Number two, constant in thankfulness. No matter what situation you are going in, or you're in, or you find yourself in, or you see ahead of you, or you're coming out of, Scripture is very clear through the pen of Paul that no matter where we find ourselves, we ought to be thankful. Constant in thankfulness. Let me just take the prayers that we just read through. Just listen as I show you. Romans 1:8. Paul said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Ephesians 1:16. I do not cease to give thanks for you. 1 Thessalonians 1. We give thanks to God always for you. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2. We give thanks to God for you. Philemon 4. I thank God always when I remember you in my prayers. Now, he was constant in thankfulness. In Romans, he said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. And what did he thank God for? That their faith was being proclaimed all throughout the region. So he was constantly thanking as he wrote back to the Romans, your faith is, people are seeing your faith and they're talking about your faith and people are knowing God because of you. For that, he's thankful. In Ephesians 1, he was thankful because he had heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love towards other believers. Paul said, I'm a distant land. I want to come to you. You're very dear to me. But I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your steadfastness and your love for other believers, and I give thanks to God for that. In 1 Thessalonians, he said, I'm thankful for your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness in hope. In Philemon 4, he says, I'm thankful for your love and faith toward the Lord Jesus and all believers. So constantly in faithfulness. Paul said in Philippians 4, by everything with thankfulness, make a request be made known. Now let me tell you something. You have to be intentional if you're going to continually come to God and it's going to include thankfulness. Because there are going to be times in your life that the last thing you want to do is be thankful. And God said, when it's the last thing you want to do to be thankful, that's when you need to be most thankful. You need to start talking to yourself. You need to make a list of things that God has done in your life and around your life and through your life. And you repeat them to God and you tell Him that you're thankful. Now, it's very interesting, this list of 10 prayers. It's very interesting to me, these 10 recorded prayers. Every recorded prayer of Paul was in a response to good news, not bad news. Now, he had bad news in his life, because he was in jail for a lot of it. But he's always responding to good news. At least these 10 recorded. It doesn't mean that when you're down in a valley, and we have numbers of people that have gone through valley experiences, it doesn't mean you don't cry out to God. Matter of fact, read the Psalms. David's always crying out to God, God, where are you? I need you. You're my very present help in time of need, but I don't sense that you're here. Certainly that's not inappropriate. I'm not saying that. It's just that often we do not pray until there's a crisis in our life. Paul was praying, regardless of where he was at, out of thankfulness for where others were at. That's very important. He was thankful for the spiritual work God had done in their lives, was doing in their lives, and will do in their lives in the days ahead And that's what got Paul through his jail experiences and marched him all the way in to Rome, where he ended up having his life taken. So his prayers are constant in thankfulness. Number three, just consumed with the spiritual progress of those he loved. He was consumed with other people he knew growing in Christ, knowing Christ better, living for Christ better, sharing Christ more. He was consumed with the spiritual progress of those he loved. Don't miss that. Now, if you take out your sheet, if you don't already have it out, on the back side, and again, I challenge you, there's more prayer requests out of these 10 prayers than the ones I've listed here. But just for your benefit, because I really want you to take this sheet and use it in your home, have it on your dining room table. He was consumed with the spiritual progress of those he loved. Let me point out a couple of the prayer requests. I listed the ones that came to the surface, but let me just list a couple of them for you. Look down on the back of that sheet and go down to Ephesians verse 1 and 17 and 18. And I just put them in my own words, kind of. He prayed that they would know, that the people he was writing to would know God personally at the deepest level of their life. He did not want a religious person. He wanted somebody that was scrambling through life and hanging on to God as they go through. He was consumed with, I want you to know God the way I know God. Not that life is a breeze. I want you to know God personally at the deepest level. And look at verse 18 of Ephesians 1. He prayed, I want you to know what is available to you in Christ and how great God's power can be for those who believe in Christ. He was all about the gospel. And again, some of you I haven't even met. I would love to meet you after the service or whatever, and maybe you've been coming in my absence, and some of you are just I need to get reacquainted with or whatever, and I'm not sure where everybody is at spiritually, but Paul was consumed with wanting you to have this vibrant personal relationship with God, the Father, through Christ and what Christ has done for you. He wants you to know God at the deepest level. Some of you, you know in your hearts, you're searching for God. And Paul is trying to say, I'm praying that what you're looking for in life is found in a personal relationship with Christ. That deep personal relationship that cannot and will not leave you in a time of need. And so you should ask yourself right now, if this was a constant prayer request that was recorded throughout the New Testament, it's recorded for you. Do you have a deep, abiding, personal relationship with God the Father because of what Christ did on the cross? Have you repented and turned to God so that your sins could be wiped out and times of refreshing could come from the Lord? Paul was consumed with the gospel. He gave his life to tell people about the gospel. He loved people that were on the outside of God, but God was drawing them in. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 17 and 18. I'll just pick out a couple of these because we're talking about he was consumed with the spiritual progress. I just want you to see it. He prayed that that their hearts would be fully open to Christ and that they would make him a warmly welcome friend in their life. He prayed, he said, I just want you to just open your hearts and warmly welcome Christ as you would welcome a friend into your life. Jesus himself said, you know, come to me, all you weary and burdened. Open your life up to me. Look down at Colossians 1:9. Be filled with a clear knowledge of what God wants for your short term and long term. If you look at that request, Colossians 1:11, be invigorated and strengthened by the power of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, be energized by God so that you may fulfill what God has called you to be. And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but how many people just want to know, God, what do you want from me? What do you want out of my life? That's a prayer to bring to God that he'll answer in your life. Philemon 6, he prayed for the effective sharing of your personal faith and just how amazing it is. Paul prayed that believers would just step back for a moment, see what God has done in your life, everything he's done for you, your sins that are forgiven. And he gives you a life that is just unbelievable, eternal and abundant. A water just flowing. Joy, peace, love, kindness, gentleness flowing out of you. He wants you to step back, understand how amazing that is, and then he wants you to effectively share that with the next person. There are hurting people all over the world, all over this state, all over this city, and all over this auditorium. They need to know about what God has done in your life. So the spiritual development and progress of people Paul loved was really the head of the list for everything he prayed for people. Well, think about how you pray. Is that first and foremost? Is that how you pray even for your children? Okay, lastly, it's very obvious when you go through these 10 prayers that Paul was confident in God's power. He was absolutely confident in God's power. He prayed for those that he loved, believing God was not done yet. Now, Philippians 1:6, which is not in the list here, Paul said, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. The day of Christ Jesus. He was confident in God's power. David Jeremiah, a great pastor, a great author, he has a radio a cast. If you can get anything almost from David Jeremiah, it's worth reading. And he's gone through struggles in life of his own. He's battled cancer. He understands the valleys of life. He's just a great pastor, great, great author. He said everything that God wants to do in your life, he has subjugated to prayer. Everything God wants to do in your life, he's made it available to you through prayer. Not through giving more money. It's good. Not through just attending church. That's good. Not through just reading through your Bible. That's good. Through intercessory prayer. Coming to God. Being personal with God. Bearing your heart to God. So I just recorded some of the things that God says he'll do through prayer. Prayer is the way you defeat Satan. It's through prayer a lost person is saved. It's through prayer you acquire the wisdom of God. It's through prayer that a backslider, somebody who had a profession of faith but hasn't been living for the Lord, is restored. It's through prayer that a hurting believer gets strength. It's through prayer that laborers are sent to the mission field. It's through prayer that the impossible is accomplished. And the list goes on and on. God does nothing in ministry, I'm convinced, apart from prayer. That's what God had laid on my heart. Nothing. You can be assured of this very thing when it comes to prayer. As you are faithful in praying, God will be faithful in working. As you're faithful in praying, God will be faithful in working, and he is able to do and willing to do more than we ask. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 71. If you don't have them, just listen as I close. Psalm 71. There have been numerous times in Deb's life and my life, our married life together, where God has allowed us to go through a deep valley. And God has continually brought us to Psalm 71. This morning, as I was finishing up meditating on what God wanted me to share this morning, my wife brought up to me again Psalm 71 verses 14 and 15. Here's what the psalmist said when he had no strength left. He said this, "But I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more." So I'm hoping. So in other words, he's in a situation, he doesn't have the answer, so he's hoping from God, and yet in the midst of his hoping, notice what he's doing, he's praising God more and more. Now, most of us, when we're in a situation where we're hoping for something to happen, it's very hard to be praising God and hoping at the same time. The psalmist says the key is as you're hoping, you're also continually praying. And then verse 15, "My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past, for their number is past my knowledge." Verse 16, "With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come, I will remind them of your righteousness and yours alone." So God has taught me in the last couple of weeks a couple of great lessons on prayer. And I would like to challenge you as I close this morning. If you would just take out your gold card, we always close with the gold card, and it may be just too familiar to some of you, but I want you to really think with me. So if everybody could take out their gold card this morning. If you're visiting, we use the gold card. If you want to give us your information, we'd love it. We'll pray for you. If there's a question you have, there's a place to mark it on the back. We'll sing a closing song, and the baskets will be passed. The baskets aren't for money. They're for the gold cards. But I want to draw your attention, so put your information on the front. The Lakesiders use the card every week. There are many cards that are always turned in, so if you're visiting, don't feel like you're going to be the only one turning it in. There's never a week where there's less than 70 cards turned in, and often closer to 100. But I want you to turn to the back specifically from what God laid on my heart this morning. Now, there's a great verse to memorize there. But here's how I would like you to use this sheet. The sheet with the 10 prayers, the prayer requests on the back, the place for notes. Go through the prayers. Find out a specific prayer request for yourself. Put names in there. So if you look at the first step on the gold card, it says, "I will meditate." So this is about you personally. So I want you to think personally about what I've just shared. "I will meditate personally upon the recorded prayers of Paul, and then I will take the initiative to personalize them for my own life." Okay, you cannot pray for a vibrant relationship if you're a parent in your kids' life if you don't have a vibrant relationship yourself. Your kids are going to call you out as a hypocrite or a fake. Now, there's nobody sinless here. So if this is your desire, then pray through this and then go to your children and say, "Here's where I've failed God. But here's where I'm going to pray for you. But here's, if you have older kids, our teens are prayers. Some of our teens pray more than their adult parents for sure. Go to your teens and say, "This is an area of my life. Would you pray for me?" Humble yourself. So the very first step you want to take is you want to say, "I want to meditate on these prayers, and then I want to take the initiative in my own personal life to personalize them for my life." So when Paul prays for a vibrant relationship with Christ, you should stop and say, "Lord, do I have a vibrant relationship with Christ?" When you pray, that the sharing of the faith would be effective. Do I have a faith that I'm even sharing? Why am I not sharing? And just go down. So number one, prioritize, personally take the initiative. Number two, this is where I hope we can all get to as well. This is where Deb and I are committed as well for both one and two. And the last couple of weeks have been working on one. But here's number two. I will pray the recorded prayers of Paul. Now, not rote. Take Paul's prayers and personalize them. But I will pray the recorded prayers of Paul consistently for my family as well as the Lakeside Fellowship family. If we could be a group of people that are praying for Deb and I, our five kids and our eight grandchildren, those other family members, and then for the Lakeside family, God will do a great work in our midst. We need God to do a great work in our midst.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lakeside Fellowship Podcast. If you have any questions about this message, or if you'd like more information about our church, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thanks. We'll see you next week.